God, are you ready for the Word? Are you ready for the Word to change you? I mean for the Word to shift your life and change your actions, change your direction, change your focus. Because that's what it's designed to do. Amen? Habakkuk chapter 2, let's get started. I'll give you just a minute to find Habakkuk. Praise you, Lord God. As I was saying a while ago, this Word is designed to change us radically. I mean, think about it. Before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you were an unredeemed heathen, living in sin, living for sin, living for self-serving purposes for the most part. Amen? But when you got saved, God shifted you to a whole different realm. He translated you into the kingdom of God. He made you a son of God, and He changed your whole assignment for life. The problem is, when you got saved, you may not have noticed any of that. You just said, well, I give my life to Jesus Christ. When I got saved, I didn't notice any tangible shift inside of me. They laid hands on me and said, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, I am. I didn't feel a thing. Understand, I'm at the time, I'm Mr. Logic, and I have to have a tangible sign. Amen. I didn't see a sign. I didn't see anything. But they said, you're saved. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. But I was still mentally the same person. I was still physically the same person, even with these massive guns. And just lightening it up a bit before we, you know, start the surgery. And I had to get in the Word of God to find out who I was, what God had done in my life, set under the right teachings that they could open up the Word of God before me. And as I saw what the Word declared, it required me to shift my life. It required me to change how I acted, change how I thought, change how I spoke, change how I treated other people. It required shifts. But it also required me to change how I believe. It also required me to change my focus and goals in life. It required me to alter my total direction that I thought I had laid before me. Amen. It required me to change my daily routines. Oh, hallelujah. And I found out he'll even change what you eat. Change what I drank a long time ago. Change what I smoked a long time ago. Change, you know, all that other stuff. But he'll even get in on your diet if you'll let him. Amen. God wants to shift us to maximize our potential, both to be blessed in His kingdom and to serve Him in His kingdom. We're called, oh glory to God, to be overcomers. We're called to win in every situation. And before you were saved, you probably weren't winning very many. Amen. You were probably losing quite a few. Now, you may have won the battles against people. You may have won the battles in business. You may have won the battles, you know, in family, whatever it might have been. But you were probably losing the battles over the emotions. You're losing the battles against thoughts that would bombard you. And really, whether you realize or not, Satan was probably directing you down the path he wanted you on before you were saved. Because he knows how to manipulate thought, manipulate emotion to get us on the path he wants us on. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy and of infinite power, said, I'm going to deliver you from his ability to control your life. But you can't be delivered from that unless you let God change the way you see things. Unless you let God get a hold of your decision-making capacity that you can follow Him. Amen? See, it's not just because you got saved everything's going to go wonderful. It's because you got saved and you obey. He is not just Savior, He is Lord. And through obedience, He will lead us down the path of blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're not under law anymore, but we are directed by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is leading us in a path to get us where God wants us, to interact with His highest level of blessing. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Now, we know this passage, don't we? But I need to start out this morning's message with it again because it lays the framework for where we're going. Habakkuk says, I'm going to go and pray. Not only that, I'm going to set me on the tower. The tower represents the place of intercession, the place of overseeing. Amen? And he says, I've got an assigned time, and I'm going to go set me in my place of intercession. And he says, I expect God to speak to me. And when he speaks to me, it will require change on my part. What am I going to answer when I'm reproved? Now, we see reproved, we think of scolded. Doesn't necessarily mean scolded, it just means required to change. What am I going to do? What is going to be my response when God says, I need you to make shifts in your life? And that's my question to us this morning. When God says, I need you to make a shift, what will be our answer? Because God will speak to us all the time. He'll stretch us repeatedly. And He says, will you follow me in the opportunities I lay before you? Now again, here's where the enemy tries to come in and confuse the message. The enemy wants to take something God tells you to do and tell you it's not an opportunity. God gives you direction to stop something. Well, the enemy says, well, God's trying to ruin your life. He's trying to, you know, keep you from having any fun. God says, I need you to go into this opportunity, into this area, and it's going to stretch you. And the devil says, he's trying to break you. He's trying to, you know, just make you miserable. When in fact, every time God gives you direction, it's for your benefit. Amen. Even if there's a hardship in it, there's an eternal reward that reaps at least hundredfold. And we get to glory, we go way beyond the hundredfold. Did you follow me on that? I mean, if you live 100 years here and have 100 years of hardship, should you have 100 years of hardship? You get to eternity. Amen. Eternity divided by 100 is still infinity. Amen. I mean, we're way beyond the hundredfold, and whatever suffering you might experience, whatever hardship or pressure you might experience in this life, doesn't touch the glory that we will know with Jesus in the ever after. So we're way beyond hundredfold. So whatever you do to obey God, to step into His path for your life, will pay off with infinite blessing for all of time. Praise God. So don't worry about the little challenge, the little devils will try to say God's trying to make you miserable. Recognize everything God assigns you to do, whatever He calls you to do, it's an opportunity. Amen. We should be saying, God, what would you want me to do? I don't even care what it is. Show me what you want to do because I know it pays off for my benefit. You know, with the kids, now I didn't dare do this when I was a kid, but I hear it done today. I've heard even my kids say it in the past. They might have said it one time. And I'll say, can you guys help me with this project? And the kid will say, well, what do you get me? It's not what you're going to get, it's what you're not going to get. My dad probably would have just backhanded me and said, okay, that's what you're not going to get. Now, let's get on to anyway. And I didn't do that to my kids. Let me make that clear. The point is we shouldn't be going to God like a little child. Well, what do you get me? If I obey you, what do I get? You should trust your loving Father, whatever He assigns you to do, whatever He asks you to do, it's going to be good for you. Amen? We need to have the mindset, whatever God says, it's good for me. So Habakkuk says, I'm going to go pray, and when I pray, God's going to require that I make shifts in my life. There's going to be change required. And he says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now here Habakkuk went to seek God, wondering what God would have him change. And God says, I'm not just going to change you. I've got something for you right now that's going to change everybody. Did you follow me? I've got something I need you to put down. Here's your assignment. Now see, this was an easy one. Now a lot of these Old Testament prophets, they used to have to go to the king and worry, you know, wonder whether they're going to be sawn in half. You know, Isaiah was sawn in half. Whether they're going to be thrown in the pit, you know, Jeremiah put in the pit. Well, what assignment does God have I got to do that's going to require me to put my life at risk or my health in jeopardy? What's going to potentially bring pain into my life? So I'm sure Habakkuk as a prophet saying, God, whatever you want me to do, help me to do it. And God gives him an easy one. Just write this down. Just write this one down. He's going, oh, praise God, hallelujah. finally got a breakthrough on this thing. Amen? But God says in this one, write the vision. What I give you to write, write it down. And then he says, and the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, right? Verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, though it seems like it's running late, though it seems like it's not coming to pass, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not be late. It will not tarry. Amen. Then he goes on to verse 4 and he tells the people of the vision of the just that live by faith. One whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him, verse 4, right? But the just shall live by faith. So the one whose soul is lifted up is the one that's elevated their soul above what God said. Amen. They've lifted up their soul, which represents pride. And the Word says, pride goeth before a fall. So the Lord's saying that those that will elevate what they want to do, what they think, what they decide, their goals, their purposes, their own reasoning, reasoned out decisions, he says, they're not going to make it. But those that will live, the just, the righteous, that will live by faith, believing what I've said, they'll be the people of the vision. We're here believing what God has said. You have to be radical just to be in here. I mean, think about the message I'm giving to you. Think about what would happen if we preach this in most churches around. And the pastor got up and says, God's coming back for a glorious bride. He wants you to walk in the same power and glory and authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can heal the sick, open blind eyes, and raise the dead. They'd be looking to vote him out so quick in many cases. Are you following me? Hallelujah. But the just say, God, that live by faith, say, God, if you said it, if it's in your word, I choose to believe it. I make a decision until my faith rises to the place I can believe it. Amen. I'll wait regardless of the persecution, regardless of the ridicule, regardless of the attacks. I'm standing because I know this vision shall come to pass. And then he tells the vision. Verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God intends to fill the earth with glory. Now, most Christian teachers would say, yes, this is talking about sometime in the ever after. This is talking about the heavenly realm, that God's going to fill the earth with glory. He'll recreate the earth and it'll be full of glory. But that's not what this is talking about. Amen. We'll look at passages this morning that make it clear this glory release is not for the ever after. Oh, there'll be glory then. But God wants to show His goodness by bringing the glory to the earth now and bringing a harvest from the earth. Amen. Because Isaiah 60 says the glory is coming. He says it's coming at a time that gross darkness fills the earth. Amen. And so God wants to bring forth a supernatural, all-powerful move in the end time that we're waiting for. And He says, whoever reads this vision, verse 2 again, whoever reads this vision should run toward the vision. And again, running requires all of your coordinated efforts. Amen. Did you know it's hard to read and run at the same time? It's hard to eat and run at the same time. I'm sure if you practice it, you can do it. Amen. It's hard to shop and run at the same time. Whatever. Running requires your full effort. And God said, if you're one of those that reads this vision, how many know Habakkuk's in your Bible? If you read this passage, God says, you have a new assignment on your life. It's to run toward the vision. The point being, as I made earlier, is you cannot be a person that decides to live your life like you always did and run toward the vision. It will require shifts. It will require major alterations. Amen. It'll require effort. I don't mind walking. You know, I can walk all day. I'll walk and pray. Walking, no big deal. I don't like to walk where it's boring. Patty said, you want to walk around the block? I said, I know what's around the block. Doesn't excite me whatsoever. I mean, just like, almost like chewing nails, have just to walk around a little circle. You want to walk through the woods? I'll walk through the woods. Just give me a gun or something to shoot at something if I see something. Amen. When I walk, it's because I have a goal or a purpose. But I can walk. But when somebody says, let's go run, not me. Amen. I'll walk, but don't make me run. That's too much physical effort for no purpose. I don't know what it is. I guess it's my farm life, you know, growing up a lot on the farm. And that we worked so hard so often, we just could not understand releasing that kind of energy without producing a result. I talked to a farmer one time, and I don't know how the subject came up, but it came on, everybody was jogging. This has been years ago, and everybody was jogging. And he says, you know, it's like chasing the hogs when they're not out. And I said, that's exactly my viewpoint, amen? Why am I going to run without a purpose? Other than, you know, aerobics and, you know, weight loss or whatever it might be like that. But praise God, I'll play basketball all day and run, but don't make me just run down a line. I've actually thought that if I really want to get serious about getting in shape, I can't go lift weights. It's too boring. Can't go jog. There's no point, you know, no purpose at the moment. But I thought I could go to farmers, just hire myself out. Let me help you move your hay. I'll throw whatever, you know. At least I'm producing a result with the exercise. Amen. Well, in the same fashion, a lot of people get fooled into thinking they're running toward the glory isn't producing a result. That it's not producing any effort. Amen. That if you start getting involved in radical church attendance, radical reading of the Word, confessing the Word, radical intercession, whatever, radical giving, whatever it might be, that it's just not producing. And that's why God says the vision may seem like it's tearing, but wait, it's going to come. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. And when you run to the glory, you are sowing into God's dream. Remember we talked about that was God's dream to have a glorious bride. To run toward the glory is sowing your life into God's dream. Oh, hallelujah. How many of God came to you and says, I have an assignment for you, and really what it is, I want you to help me fulfill my dream. How many would answer that? I mean, God showed up, Jesus, you know, had a manifestation in the living room. I want you to help me fulfill my dream. How many would do that? I mean, it's really what Habakkuk talked about being reproved. What's God want me to do? God says, help me fulfill my dream. Well, the truth is you have a Bible and He said it right there. Run to the glory. Set aside all your other distractions. Set aside the other things you thought you wanted to do and get involved in bringing my dream to pass. Help me get the earth filled with glory. And He says, I've already sown the seed in you. When you got saved, Paul wrote in Colossians, he says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The seed's already in there. Amen. He just needs to develop us that it can get from the inside to the outside. He's saying, help me bring in my harvest. Manifest my goodness so people can see who I am. Walk in the fullness of the anointing. Move in miracle power. Display the fruit of the Spirit. God's saying, help me with my dream. Run to the glory. Now we know, because we've heard it enough times in here, right, that God's after a glorious church. It's His end time purpose. Amen. It's His end time tool. His purpose is to harvest the earth. Right? But He wants to use His glory through us to bring in that purpose, to produce that end result. And so, God here is after this glorious church. And He introduced this vision to us here in Habakkuk through Habakkuk going to his place of intercession. Now, we've been on a series here lately on tops-down intercession, right? That if we can bring the glory and if we can pray in the glory, it'll fix so many of the other problems. I mean, you get into glory, healing will be automatic. Amen? You get into glory, wealth is attracted. The harvest comes in. You get into glory, there is no such thing as anxiety in the glory. Oppression flees at the presence of the Lord. There's no oppression in the glory. Chains fall off under the influence of the glory. Amen? So if we can get the glory in place, it fixes pretty much almost everything else. Oh, hallelujah. Now, God, in calling forth His church to fulfill this vision, birthed it to us through intercession. And God says in His Word, He declares the end from the beginning. So if He birthed the glory vision through intercession, how do you think it's going to be fulfilled? Through intercession. God's called us to all night, Friday night prayer. We've got morning prayer going on. We've got prayer going on before services. He's called us to intercession. I believe He's called every revivalist church to intercession. Amen. Because it's what's going to manifest His glory. And we know this church has a calling on it to manifest the glory. That's the whole water tower, you know, vision we're running towards. So here God's given us a vision of glory. He's called us to intercession and confirmed it time and time again is what we're to be doing. Amen. Just like He birthed this vision by intercession, He's going to finish it by intercession. Oh, praise God. But He needs His people willing to run into intercession to finish the vision. Needs His people to run to intercession. When He says run toward the vision, and we know that intercession brings the vision into fruition, then we know what we're supposed to be running towards. Now see here, I told you this would be one that would stretch some people. I mentioned before, I don't mind walking, but don't ask me to run. I'm not going jogging with you. Amen. Probably won't go walking with you if you're not going toward a destination. Amen. I got enough stuff going on just to make up work. My flesh doesn't like jogging. It's like I feel my head scrambling every time I thump the pavement. Amen. And the more I weigh, the more it thumps. Praise God. Fortunately, that's coming down too. Hallelujah. In the same fashion, your flesh doesn't like running toward intercession. And the devil attacks your soul to such high levels, he says, it's just a waste of time. You're praying in tongues. You said that before. You're not really baptizing the Holy Ghost. What a waste. You could be right now doing all these chores. You could be watching TV, sitting on the couch, resting. You need your beauty sleep. I mean, every excuse not to pray. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be at Friday night. Please don't think that. And I'm judging no one because they're not there. I'm telling you, in your life, there should be intercession. God filled you with the Holy Ghost to give you a tool to use. Not just so you could tell people you had an experience and you believe in the Pentecostal movement. It's to be a tool to use to usher in the glory. It says in Romans chapter 8, when you pray in tongues, you pray the perfect will of God. Well, what is God's perfect will? Perfect means completed and mature. What's His finished will? What is His finished dream? The glory. So when you pray in tongues, what do you think many times you're praying? You're praying in the glory. Because it's a completed, mature will. Oh, hallelujah. You're praying. When you pray in tongues, you may not know what you're saying, but you're saying, Father, change me to bring forth Your glory. All those areas of my life that are standing in misalignment or out of order with what You'd have me do, shift them now. Bring me revelation to what You'd have me shift. You may be praying that in tongues. Glory to God. And later God speaks to you because you spoke that and God speaks to you about this is what I need you to do. You're praying forth the glory. And just like you may not like to get up and jog, and many of you do, I'll swim. I don't mind swimming without a direction just because I enjoy to swim. I'll swim all day. But to run, boom, 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 no thank you. However, this running into the glory, this intercession run, you have to make yourself do sometimes. You have to say, it's what I'm called to do. Well, I just don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praying in tongues. You usually don't until you've been doing it about half an hour. You do it because it's fulfilling God's dream. Oh, hallelujah. Big Blue Madness was the other night, right? Kentucky basketball. I saw a post last night on Facebook that the purpose of Kentucky football is to get everybody excited about basketball season. Amen. May be true for Tennessee this year as well. Here's the thing. Is Calipari's right now in this season got those kids running. And these guys are in shape. But I guarantee they're running. They're doing a, what do you call those where they run line to line to line to line? Suicides, and wind, we call them wind sprints. And the suicides they're calling them now. And you'd just soon die, I guess, let's do some of them. Well, he's building up their endurance. He's getting them ready for the season. Amen. And I'll guarantee they're not volunteering. Hey, coach, can we do a few more suicides? Just I'd really like to do suicides. Another 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes more, coach. They're looking at the clock saying, Lord, deliver me from this. Amen. Intercession's not that bad. Amen. In fact, with suicides or the running, you're probably, the longer the clock goes, the more you're hating it. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you love it. The further you go into the Holy Ghost, the more you flow into that place of intercession. But I'll tell you what, I've been praying in tongues now for nearly 30 years and praying extensively amounts of time for over 25. I mean, just hours a day. And I have found I usually don't just really look forward to it. Friday night prayer, I'm like you at 10:30. Lord God, let me call Rebecca. I've worked all day. I need a night at home. My wife needs me. Amen. Of course, she's probably going to get him out of here. Let me finally have the remote control. Hallelujah. My soul's like yours, just saying, I don't know that I really want to go tonight until I get in the flow of the run. Amen. Now, when you run, I'm told that after you run so long, epinephrines are released. Is that right? And all of a sudden, there's a euphoria, there's a peace comes, there's a, you know, a... Y'all help me. Is that right? Raise your hand if that's true. How many runners we got in here? Lord, help them right now in Jesus' name. That there's a place where you make yourself run, but after you've run a little ways, how long does it usually take? How far do you have to run before you feel better? How long? It'd be me like 6 weeks. How long? Half a mile, which is, you know what, for you 2 minutes. You run a ways and you feel the flow of it. You feel release where all of a sudden you get into a motion of it. Is that true? Amen. It's the same with praying in the Spirit. It takes willpower to start. Amen. But when you get into the flow of it, all of a sudden, it usually with me, it depends. It depends if I'm going in cold turkey, maybe half an hour. If I've been praying a lot, I just step in. I start, make myself do it, maybe 5 minutes. I'm in this flow. And what it is, it's you going in by will, because God doesn't make you do anything. He's calling on you to use your faith to go into the realm of the Spirit. He's calling us to use the just shall live by faith, to use our faith to go into this place of running with the vision. And you go in and then He meets you there and says, okay, now I got it from here. We have on Friday nights what we call the caffeine anointing. We got people coming in dragging, I mean spent, had it happen again. Friday night, I'd worked all day Friday, come in here, helped with the conference we had here Friday night. I went in my office at 10 and laid down. I said, I'm going to get me a nap beforehand. And I don't know if I ever spent more than 10 minutes asleep, something would happen or what, I'd wake up. But at 10 till 11, I woke up, realized it's time, and I realized I'd been asleep that time. And I woke up, and it was one of those times where I thought, I could sleep for the night. Did you ever lay down and take a nap and you were just out for the night? Amen. Well, that's what I felt like. And I knew, no, I have to lead prayer. And I'm thinking, maybe I could just have Rebecca do the first couple hours. I'll finish this nap out, you know. All these thoughts are going through my head. And so we started prayer, started 11 o'clock or 5 after whatever. I'm praying. I feel like I got to hit the couches. I'm just ready to. I'm spent feeling. Just using my faith just to pray. And all of a sudden, I'm talking about like you flipped a switch. A power hit me. I was energized, ready to pray the rest of the night. Why? I used my faith to step to that place of intercession, and God took up the slack. And He made it where I wouldn't want to have been anywhere else. I couldn't have went to sleep if I'd have had to. Because a power hit me, because I used my faith. When you use your faith to unite with the plans of God, His power comes on you to fulfill the purpose. And we had a great time. I think we had 15 people. 15 people Friday night again. A great, great time. Great time in the Holy Ghost. Praying in God's dream. Just praying in God's dream. Knowing there's a reward connected to it. See, it requires getting off the couch and choosing to run. It requires taking upon yourself God's assignment versus your assignment. Now, again, I'm not saying you have to come to Friday night prayer, but there should be time in your day you're praying. You're exercising that gift God gave you. When He baptized you in the Holy Ghost, He gave you that prayer language. He intends to be used. I have prayed for so many people. I'll have a prayer line for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, and if you've had it before, maybe you lost it. You know, you haven't prayed in tongues for a while, come back up or I'll pray for you again. You want to be refilled, come up again. Amen. And boom, there it'll hit them again. Why did it leave? Because God said in the parable of the talents, take the talent from the one that's not applying it and give it to the one that's applying it to the highest levels. Take the talent from the one that buried his, give it to the one that has 10. So when somebody has that gift and they don't use it, amen. Somebody else's prayer language is probably going up. Somebody else's anointing is probably increasing. And what happens is all of a sudden, you just feel like you don't have the unction to pray in tongues anymore. Why? Because God, when He gives you a gift, expects it to be applied. You sought Him for it. You said, God, I want to be filled. Oh, use me. And then you get it, and then it gets buried. Now again, I know this doesn't apply to anybody in here, right? Be willing to run toward the vision. And something when you pray in the Holy Ghost happens. A supernatural force hits you that strengthens you. It says, building up yourselves in Jude 20. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, a power hits you. Oh, glory to God. That you're supernaturally strengthened for the rest of the day. Even beyond that. All of a sudden you've got wisdom and clarity and direction and ability to follow God like you didn't have before. Ability to know the will of God. Why? Because you prayed out in advance. You stepping into the glory. You fulfilling God's purposes. Amen? So God birthed the glory vision through intercession. Now He says, I need my people. Are you God's people? Are we God's people? I need my people that I birthed this into now to apply themselves to this gift. Apply yourself to intercession. Because I will tell you, if you go by how you feel, you will never feel like getting up off the couch and praying. In fact, you know, I've tested this one time and time again. It's hardly ever worked. You feel like, oh God, I'll pray. I'm just going to pray on the couch. I'm just going to pray laying here, God. I'm going to pray here and lay in the bed. And the next thing you know, you're doing spiritual snorefare. And you wake up feeling, well, God, I blew it again. Tell the flesh, shut up. Tell the soul, get out of the way. I'm getting up off this bed, getting up off the couch, and I'm going to pray. Well, it just seems like a waste of time. I feel like nothing's happening. The enemy is an expert at telling you that. You don't go by how you feel. You don't go by the thoughts that are bombarding you. You go by the Word of God. What does the Word say? about praying in the Spirit? What does the Word say about intercession? Oh, we're going to see that as we get further into this in the following few weeks. Amen? God's called us to intercede in His glory. Turn with me. Let's look at some verses. Zechariah chapter 10. I don't think there's any way we'll get through all these today, but we'll touch on some of them. Now, we have talked about in the past about this outpouring of revival, right? And we know that God says He's brought forth the rain. He brought forth the former rain. Amen. I believe He's already brought forth the latter rain. But it says He's bringing a move that is bringing the former and the latter rain together. An outpouring of the Spirit. Rain represents the blessing of God being poured out. The water represents the mixing of the revelation of the Word with the Holy Spirit. Amen. An outpouring of God. God says, call for the rain. Now, with regard to the representation of the rain, when it's time to plant your crops, you want to get your seed in the ground, you want it rained on. Amen. For those that, you know, are familiar with farming. You sow the seed, you want it rained on because the moist soil germinates a seed and waters that early sprout and causes it to come forth. Now, during the warmer months, it may not rain as much. Hopefully, it rains some. What happens is the soil dries, it forces the roots of the plant to go down deeper to seek the moisture and the nutrients. Amen. But at harvest time, you need a latter rain to come forth that will then saturate the soil again so then the fruit can be brought to fullness. Amen. You want those apples plump and moist. Amen. The grapes moist. Even the wheat, the corn, you want them moist. You want them full. You need that latter rain to finish the development of the fruit. Amen. And God says, see, it all has to do with bringing in a harvest. That's to have your harvest ready to bring in. And God says, I'm bringing an outpouring that will be the former and the latter together. Now, it could be it's representing an outpouring that's going to have so much within it that it doubles our crop. It also could represent the collapse of time, that He's going to do a move that's going to be such an accelerated harvest. He'll bring forth the former rain, the latter rain together, and we'll have accelerated harvest take place. You sow your seed, you see a harvest almost immediately. Did you follow those? I believe it really applies to both. God's bringing a double portion of harvest in the end times, and He's bringing it in accelerated fashion. So the rain represents this end time revival. Oh, hallelujah. Did you guys follow me on that? He says in chapter 10, verse 1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Now here's a prophetic declaration through Zechariah that God's bringing forth the latter rain. Amen. And it's going to produce growth. And he says here, ask of the Lord. Ask. Now here's an interesting thing. All through Scripture, we're going to read passages dealing with the outpouring of God. Passages dealing with the end time revival, with the outpouring of His glory. And we're going to see repeatedly in these passages, God says, now ask me for it. Command ye me, speak it forth. Intercede with regard to it. Why would God make a prophetic promise and then say, now ask me? Ask me. Why would He say that? Why would He make a promise in the Word and say, now speak it forth? Because God will make a prophetic promise He needs people to believe. Amen. I mean, the Word of God says, whoever believes in Jesus shall be saved. Amen. It's God's desire that all men be saved. But you still have to ask. You still have to release your authority to receive this move. You have to believe it to receive it. So God gives us a prophetic promise to believe on. Now He says, decree it. Release your authority in it. Speak it forth. Oh, glory to God. get involved in the release of my vision. See, when he says, how did he word it? Ask ye of the Lord in the time of the latter rain. When he says, ask me, what's that talking about? Running with the vision. See, God's going to release all that. God's going to have, he's got the power to do it. You're not going to manifest the glory without God. There's nothing you're going to do of yourself that's going to make the glory come forth. It's going to be of God. But God gave us authority in the earth to speak forth His will to be completed. So when we pray, when we intercede, we're asking God to come and fulfill what He said He would do. We're giving Him access to move in our midst. And we're the people of the end times. We're the people of the former and latter rain together. God says, I need you to run toward my vision. Fulfill my dream. And He says, the what you do now is you ask me. You ask me. And as you ask me, that acts as a valve to turn on the power. I'm trying to think of a good example. When I was a kid, little kid, my dream job was to be the garbage man. I told my parents when I was probably 5, I want to be a garbage man. Because I thought it was so neat, they got to ride on the back of that truck. Amen? Right, just hold on the side of the truck and ride around. I thought, man, what an awesome job. I'm not attacking, you know, rubbish engineers. I'm just saying, to me, that looked like great. Get to be outside, ride around, and then to top it off, you get to throw that lever. And that hydraulic press would come down. And it'd start crushing all that stuff. And I love to see stuff crushed. I mean, that was just like, my goodness. Ride on a truck, throw the lever, and it crushes all the trash up in there. Hallelujah. I still think it'd be kind of fun. Amen? Whee! I'd be like the little piggy in the commercials. Like, whee! Hang on the truck, a little wind twirly thing. Whee! Here's the thing. That hydraulic compactor is compressing with tons of force. I'm talking about tons of force. Have you ever been to the place where they actually crush the cars with those things? You know, the hydraulic presses? Hundreds of thousands of tons or pounds of force many times. A lot of force just by pulling the lever. Our voice pulls the lever to release the power of God. Amen? You know, I don't know who decides when to pull the lever. I'm sure when the back is full, you know, somebody says, okay, pull it, you know. But you got one guy in charge probably saying, pull the lever. His voice releases the authority to have the lever pulled to compress all the trash. Your voice releases the power of God. And if nobody prays, nothing happens. Well, it'll happen. It'll just happen through somebody else that prays. Amen. You run. Listen, you can run through giving, you can run through service, you can run through preaching, ministry, whatever. But one of the primary areas we're all called to run is in intercession. How many were given the promise of praying in the Holy Ghost to be baptized in the Spirit? I'm talking about as a whole regarding the people of God. How many were promised? A few? Couple? All. All can speak in tongues. Amen. Paul said all may speak in tongues in Corinthians. We've all been given that promise. Most in here, I'm sure, have already received it. So if all can speak in tongues, and it's a gift not just to show that you're spiritual, but to intercede, then how many are called to intercession? All. Well, God hadn't called me to intercession. He may not have called you to Friday night, but He still called you to intercession. I mean, hopefully you're praying over your family and praying over, you know, your church, and you're praying over your pastor. Amen. Surely this is going on. But you're called to pray in God's dream. Spend some time praying. And you know what you can do? Here's what you can do. You can run and pray in tongues. You may not be able to eat and run, shop and run, sleep and run, but you can pray in tongues and run. Pray in tongues and walk. Pray in tongues and swim. When I used to swim all the time, I prayed in tongues the whole time. Back when I met Patty, that's been, you know, a few years ago, I lived at the lakes in Lexington apartment complex with this huge reservoir, and I could go out there, as long as the weather was warm, any time and swim in the lake, and I'd swim it back and forth end to end. Long ways, just end to end. And I'd get in it and just enjoy the peace swimming in that lake. Amen? Well, we can swim now and pray in the Holy Ghost and get lost in Him. You can pray in tongues and scuba dive. Hallelujah. Call to intercession. Isaiah 45. See, a lot of people don't like this message because it's a reproving type message. Not scolding, but requiring shift. Requiring that we make alterations in our day that we thought we wanted to do. It requires a demand on the flesh. It'll stretch your soul. It'll drive devils out of your head, amen? Out of their head that have taken up residence in your head. Because the soul wants to be entertained. Amen. The flesh wants to rest. And God said, I need you to run. Running is not entertaining. And it's not resting. Amen. Neither is intercession. You'll get entertained out of it. You get in deep enough. Amen. You get in there with the presence of God, you'll be entertained. And you'll get rested. It's amazing. It's amazing on Saturday how little sleep I can go on. I've many times gone all night on Friday night and got 2 hours sleep and the next day been wired. Yesterday I think I had 4 hours sleep. Three or four. Didn't go to bed last night till midnight. Just working all day. Why? You access a supernatural power. Amen. But you don't get there until you tap into it through the intercession. And God will pay you back the time you spend on it. If you'll pray in the Spirit, I believe you're praying forth your shortcuts for the rest of the day. There was a story I heard Pastor Philip Derber tell years ago, back when before he was in ministry and he was just gotten saved and God had him praying. I mean, extensive hours, in the Word, extensive hours every day. And he took a job doing construction. And he hired on to build some lady's, to rebuild some lady's porch. And he was running behind on the job. And so that morning he got up and he just prayed and got the Word just a little bit. And he went to the job site and God says, you weren't done at home yet. Go back home. He says, God, I've got to finish this job. He says, go back home. You've not finished your prayer assignment yet. So we went back home, and of course his wife, Alberta's there saying, what are you doing here? You need to go make some money. And he says, God told me to come home. So we spent the rest of the morning in prayer, spent the rest of the morning in the Word, went back to the job site, thinking, my goodness, now I got a bunch to catch up on. And started to build the porch, and God said, don't cut that board. There's one right there or already the right length. He said, no. And he'd go pick it up, and there's a piece of board to the 16th, the size he needed. And the whole day went like that. Like the boards were pre-cut. Everything was pre-worked. And he threw it together and got it done ahead of schedule. Oh, praise God. Then that time, the angels pulled all the nails out of his boards for him. Oh, hallelujah. Don't have time to go there. Isaiah 45, have you got it? Verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command you me. Here, God says, concerning the works of my hands, command me. Verse 12, I've made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. I command, God says, I commanded. I raised him up in righteousness and will direct all his ways, and he shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price, not for reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine, and they shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Here he's talking about, again, aspects of this end time revival. And he says, concerning the work of my hands, command you me. God says, speak it forth. Now listen, we're not giving God orders. You follow me? But he's saying, ask me with authority. Again, I believe we just decree with authority what God has said. I declare the glory of God released on Georgetown, Kentucky right now. You follow me? God says, you're commanding me. You're partnering with me to do this. I command everybody in this church healed, blessed, overflowing with the love of God. What are you doing? I'm commanding. I think we can take a sidetrack and talk about how we don't beg God for things. He says, decree it. Speak it forth. Again, read the works of Jesus. Did you know he never prayed for anybody to be healed? There's not a single account in Scripture. Look at it. There's not a single account in Scripture Jesus ever prays for anybody to be healed. He calls them healed. Amen. Commanded eyes to open. Command the dead to rise. I say unto thee, arise. Not fall on his face. Oh God, if it be thy will, raise him from this deathbed. No. He declared it. And God said, because he was commanding. We do the same thing. Amen. God wants his dream decreed forth. Ezekiel chapter 36. Oh, I tell you what. I tell you what. Go to Isaiah 43 instead. Because if I get into Ezekiel 36, we're going to be another half an hour. Isaiah 43. Verse 5. Again, he's talking about revival. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Amen. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? And show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, and let them hear and say, it is the truth. And he says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Now go down to verse number, let's skip through this for the sake of time. Go down to verse number 19. Verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. In other words, don't look at the past to project the future. God says, behold, I will do a new thing. I'm going to do it different than ever before. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I've given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people that I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Do you see that? Verse number 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Do you see that? God says, put him in remembrance. What is he saying? Speak forth what I've said. He said, let us plead together. Let us partnership in this thing. See, when you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. So you're going, oh, rabasata karabasi. And because God says that's His perfect will, He's partnered with you in that thing. The Spirit of God in you is unctioning you what to say in this partnership of praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden you're bringing forth, you're putting God in remembrance of exactly what He's prophetically declared will take place in your life, in your church, and in your city. Amen. Speak forth the prophecies back to God. Put him in remembrance of what He's put in His Word. Let God use you. Let Him unction you to run toward the vision. Now again, you may not be called to full-time ministry. So you don't have hours a day to pray in tongues or hours a day to get in the Word. Amen. But you can pray in tongues in your day. You can pray in tongues on your break. You can pray in tongues driving to work. And surely you can find a place sometime during the day to get some word in. Take the gift God gave you and refuse for it to lie dormant. Can I make a statement that I hope doesn't offend anybody either in here or by TV? There's going to be a great separation take place in these end times in the churches. Between those that are going after the soul and those that are going after the spirit. Those that are serving reason versus those that are being led of the spirit. Did you follow me? I believe religious organizations, religious churches are going to collapse across this nation. Amen? Many shut the doors. Fine, no power. No sustaining faith to see them through the challenges that are going to hit us in these following seasons. And I believe the main determining factor that's going to be evident in which churches are split at will be intercession. It'll be indicated by faith, covenant, and intercession. Because those are the things God showed me in the vision would be on the church that brought forth the glory. It'd be a people. Remember, the vision was the intercessors around that building. Jesus came out and inspected them. He said, you're approved. He nodded, you're approved, which meant they knew they were righteous. They knew they were righteous. They were in intercession and they were together. I knew they were locked together in covenant. Those will be the determining factors of who's going into the glory. So if you have a church that's not praying, if they're not an interceding church, they're not going. They may end up in the glory, they may end up in the harvest. We pray they do, or you follow me? But they'll not be the ones manifesting the leading edge glory of God and seeing the hundredfold. So a separation is going to take place as people step in intercession. It's going to cause them to rise above the sinking church. And this is not just charismatic churches. There's charismatic churches led by reason all across this nation. Charismatic churches that have the gift of tongues but don't use their tongues. Not seeing the manifestation of the power of God. Just another socially led church. Reasoning led church. There's going to be a separation. Not because one's better, but because one's applying themselves. Can you imagine two basketball teams equally talented as far as natural talent? See, when I say basketball right here, everybody's like, everyone, you know, I'm talking about Kentucky because we got better talent than everybody else, amen? Equal talent. And one runs in preparation. trains running and one doesn't. One team just, you know, sits back and watches TV and watches game film and says, well, that's good. Yeah, that's a good play. They did good there. Amen. Oh, yeah, go team. And one team's out there running, doing the, I don't like the term suicides, wind sprints, we'll go with wind sprints, running the lines. One team's out there running, the other's not. When they meet up, who do you think's going to win? Second half, some stuff's going to show up. Why? They ran. It's going to be like that in the end time church as well. Did you guys ever see that movie Miracle about the 1980 hockey team? U.S. hockey team. They call it the Miracle on Ice. America's got this group of college players. Pros weren't allowed to play. And this coach gathers together these college players to go against the world's best, including Russia, which had virtually never lost. And although they weren't pros, they've been playing together for years, they were better than our pros. And he's going to take these college kids that really never played together and match up against these Russians. You know what he did? You ever watch the movie? They ran. He had them run. Had them run between games, after games, run. He put them on the lines. He said, go the, and really, I say run, skate. He put on the lines, he said, run it. Psh, psh, run, run. Over and over. And they're puking, passing out, and everything else. They finished one game. They didn't play hard enough. He made them run until they closed up the lights. He says, just turn them off. They'll keep running. And when it came time to play, the best, he says, we may not be able to match them head for head, but by the third period, with three periods in hockey, we will have the endurance. And they beat Russia 4-2, I believe it was, in the 1980 Winter Olympics to win the gold medal because they had ran, skated, whatever, you know, run on skates. They had the endurance. And God's bringing forth a separation between those who really run towards Him versus who just kind of do their own thing and try to build a church or build an organization, and those who will run into the power of God by intercession, by decreeing His Word by faith. We're called to run. It's going to change your life. It's going to shift your schedule. But the rewards are eternal. And you got to be willing to say, I need to be part of this. I want to be used by God. He's given me gifts. I want to be faithful with them. Say, now, God, don't let the flesh stand in my way. See, here's one of the things. We're made righteous. But you still have to confront the flesh. You can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but if you don't confront the flesh will dominate your life. Amen. It'll keep you on the couch. It'll keep you, well, I just don't feel like praying. I'm righteous. Well, praise God. But one's running. And you never feel like running. For the most part. Some of you natural runners are going, I always feel like running. Somebody ran out here a while ago in the middle of the message. Amen. Feel running right now. I've seen a lot of people in this church feel like running. Visiting, you know, like, where is the door? Get me out of here. Amen. Don't pass go. I understand this isn't normal. Mary had a little lamb and his name was Jesus. But the little lamb grew up and gave us an assignment. Amen. Went to the cross for us, gave us an assignment. He says, now you run, you carry your cross, you fulfill what I've assigned you to do. Hallelujah. I want to be one of those who get to heaven and God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He is awesome. He is awesome. You know, again, Kentucky, I guess, has another pretty good team. And these guys that came to Kentucky, they came to play for Calipari. You know what they're really saying? I came to run for Calipari. They knew signing up, there'd be running involved. Amen. There'd be pressure to perform involved. Pressure from the standpoint, pressure to get in shape. But they said, I still want to do it. God's looking for people who will sign up with Him. Hey, between running and praying, I choose prayer. Hallelujah. Now see, when they're running the wind sprints, they're not getting to take breaks in between and have snacks like we do at prayer. Praise you, Jesus. Stand your feet with me. Let's worship God.